Oh, thank you for responding as well. You gave me hope. I've been loaded since last night. I'm hoping that I'll switch off my video and so that I can be connected. My humble apologies for that. Chairperson, good morning. I hope you're able to join the meeting today.
Morning, co-chairperson. The co-chairperson Mashangu is with the finance committee now this morning. They are meeting with the Minister of Finance.
All right, that's fine. Thank you very much, Whip, for highlighting that. Cindy, can we deal with apologies? I don't have any on my side.
Good morning, chairperson and guests. So yes, we received an apology from Meg Wahube, who will attend the meeting, but she has to leave at 10:30. Mr. Hai is still on sick leave. Deputy Minister Kibit submitted an apology as well. And also Mr. Molitsane has joined us for a little while, but he's also attending another committee. And you will have to leave to join them at around 9.
All right, thank you very much.
My apologies.
Okay. Please flag the
agenda. Chairperson, it's Francisca Albeck speaking. Good morning, Chairperson.
Good morning,
everyone. I also want to apologize. I need to attend another meeting at 9:30. So my apologies for that also. Thank you.
Okay. That's fine.
It's Honourable Hicklin.
Yes, ma'am.
Honourable Graham Murray will be joining late. She's attending an early morning meeting.
Okay. Noted.
Good morning, Chairperson. It's Singh here. Good morning, Minister, and everybody that's online. I may have load shedding problems from about 10 o'clock onwards, but I'll see how I can manage things. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Let me formally take this opportunity to welcome and hope that they are present in this meeting. The Speaker of Parliament, Menno Siviwe, Mapisa Ngakula. That the chairperson of NCOP, that the Masondo, the STP, Mr. Alex Muyemi, acting DG, Department DPWI, Ms. Tweni Ramphele of DBSA. We do note the apology from the Deputy Minister, Ms. Kivit. And I hope that there's a delegation from the Deputy Minister's office.
Good morning, Chairperson. Minister DeLille is here. Thank you.
Okay, Minister. You're welcome. You're most welcome. Thank you very much. Yes, I was still coming to the list. It does indicate that the Minister DeLille is in attendance. The agenda is as follows: opening remarks, apologies, adoption of the agenda. Can we go to the adoption of the agenda? The first agenda item is updates on progress made in the restoration of buildings affected by the 2nd January 2022 fire and the parliamentary precinct and related matters. The second agenda item, Parliament's performance in the third quarter, briefing by the Secretary to Parliament. The third item,
recording in progress.
Cindy, can you move the cursor up? Thank you. The document up. Thank you. The challenges in respect of the delivery of interpretation services. Expenditure in respect of the Committee for Section 194 inquiry. The last item, with due respect, members, I'm going to request that we defer the last item to the next meeting due to reports that are not complete. It will not be fair that we subject Parliament to questions that they will not be able to give to us today. But there's a special request that you please refer this matter to the next portfolio committee that will sit in the next week. All reports and responses will be definitely be ready in the next week. That's a humble plea. Can we get the mover and the seconder for the adoption of the agenda?
Chairperson, I move.
Sheikh Imam seconds.
Thank you very much. With that, can we then go to the first agenda item? Can I invite the speaker? If
Honourable Chair.
Okay.
Yes. I see there are hands which are up there.
Oh, okay, sorry, I did not notice that. Let me first take this hands. Oh, Cindy did not notice me. No.
Chairperson.
Seeing. Okay.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I'm on the issue of the expenditure of the Section 194 report. I don't know whether the speaker is here. When is the targeted completion of that inquiry so that we don't receive ad hoc type of reports on the issue of the funding? When is it going to be, when is the targeted end date of that inquiry? So that if the end date is closer, we can defer until the end of the inquiry so that we get the entire picture of the expenditure. If you can just be appraised to that information. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Speaker, as you introduce the agenda item, maybe you can also reflect on that.
Okay. Yes, good morning, Honorable Members, Chairpersons of the Committee, Minister Jalil, Honorable Members, the Secretary to Parliament and the CG of DPWI, who are also on the platform. Good morning to you, Honorable Members. Let me start with the question which has just been raised so that I don't delay that. The committee has indicated to us, to the chair, that they will be able to finalize this process by end of April. And that a report will then be submitted. So I'm expecting that by end April, everything shall have been concluded. That's the first thing, Honorable Members. And then allow me then to proceed, Honorable Members. I am concerned that...
Your camera. Yeah, because we're struggling to hear you.
Yes, I'll switch it off, Honorable Member. I was going to request for permission to do that. There's load shedding in
okay,
my
shop, sure.
So the network is not going to be very cold. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, please do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Thank you for your invitation and for another opportunity to appear before the Joint Standing Committee, where the Executive Authority and Management of Parliament can account, share information and receive guidance from you on various aspects of our work. Like every other year, the work of Parliament kicked off with a congested program for the month of February, as we officially opened Parliament and the State of the Nation addressed by the President. And of course, this is then followed by the National Budget Day. I'm glad to report to you
that as observed by you, the both these important sessions were once more a resounding success, demonstrating further the resilience of Parliament's operations under conditions of the biggest unusual state we have been forced to operate in. For the second year running, Parliament has had to hold the sitting for both SONA, the debate of the national budget, and the Cape Town City Hall following the fire disaster that destroyed most of our infrastructure last year. I am glad that as part of the briefing to the committee today, the STP and his team will give an update on the work that is being done for the restoration of our Parliament, including some of the interventions to ensure a return to normalized operations both in the immediate and mid-term. Co-chairpersons and honorable members, today we also present the third quarter report based on the table ATP for 2022-2023 and the strategic plan for the sixth Parliament. As you are aware, we have been working very hard to ensure that this report reflects the impact of the work Parliament of the work Parliament does on our constituencies and the extent to which we address the plight of our people as the electorate instead ticking the compliance boxes. This review on the focus of our reporting system is aimed at enhancing the qualitative performance of Parliament in all its pillars of work. You will also realize, Chair, that the report is also guided by a new strategic direction emanating from the successful strategic plan session of management that was held last year. The session was aimed at reporting to the new challenges facing the institution, including the new working conditions created by COVID-19 and the fire disaster. Chairperson, going forward, much of the work of the institution is also going to focus on our ability to lay a sound vision and capacity for the work of the seventh Parliament. As we draw closer to the end of term of the sixth Parliament, these are some of the issues that we will be engaging you on. As I indicated earlier, Chairperson, members will also receive a briefing on the work that is being done for the restoration of the infrastructure following that disaster. That work is being based on our accepted principle and reality that whatever we do, this historic heritage has to be restored as a pride of the nation and the seat of our apex institution. Somebody is talking. Chairperson?
Patricia Matlo, please switch off your speaker. Your microphone.
Oh, my name.
Yes. And
okay.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Should we then proceed, Chair?
Please proceed now.
Okay, we've taken the considered decision that whilst everything needs to be done to ensure a smooth, compliant and responsible process for this project, it should also be done with the necessary appreciation for the agency. In this regard, the briefing by the STP will also serve to assure members that everything will be done to ensure that this project is implemented with the highest level of integrity, sound project governance, plural use of resources, and absolute guarding against corrupt practices. An institution such as Parliament, the apex structure for accountability, will not be found wanting about its good governance practices. Honorable Chairperson, as already indicated here, the Minister of Public Works is here, and I'm also informed that the DG of Public Works is here. So I am sure they will also talk to some of these issues. Chair, before I hand over to the STP and the team, to make presentations. Let me also take this opportunity to pay our respects to one of our members in the SNOP, Honorable Maurentia Kilion, who unfortunately passed away 3 days ago during one of our training sessions. We extend once more our condolences to her family, her NCOP colleagues, her party, the African National Congress, the people of the Western Cape, and to all of us, honorable members. Maybe at this point, with the permission of the co-chairs, may I ask that we observe a moment of silence in her memory. I thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. That concludes my remarks. And maybe, Chair, as I step off, I should raise whether at some point we should not go back to physical for this kind of meeting. Because in a number of areas right now, there is load shedding. I'm also having a problem of load shedding, but I hope I'll pull through with this until the end of the meeting. But I heard from the apologies as well that some of the members may have to leave the system, the platform, early because of that. So I don't know if because anyway, they are clearly stipulated time frames or within which the committee should meet. And maybe we should consider that and see if when we have that meeting, which really is once a quarter, if we should not go back to physical so that we can have better interaction, you know, with regards to financial matters of Parliament. I'm just showing it, Chair. It's a matter which you can discuss with the committee. Thank you, Chair. Those are the opening remarks. I step down.
Thank you. Noted. We'll leave that for discussion. Minister Delius, is there anything you'd want to say?
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. May I also have permission to keep off my video? Chairperson, let me greet you, honorable chairpersons and members and honorable presiding officers. I'm also joined by 8 DPWI officials led by Dr. Alec Moemi. Chairperson, after I have received the invitation from the Joint Standing Committee to brief the committee on progress, I then immediately convened a meeting with the Speaker and the Secretary of Parliament to inform them about the invitation. We then worked through some of the issues and we had agreed that we will today present to the Joint Standing Committee a joint presentation. But having said that, Honourable Chairperson, when I look at the agenda, I see that even though DPWI received the invitation, we are not on the agenda. Not that that is a problem, because DPWI took the initiative to consult with the Speaker and the Secretary to Parliament. So thank you for the opportunity once again. And as DPWI, we stand ready to play our role in making sure that we restore Parliament to its former glory. I thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure if Ntate Masondo is on the platform, and you'd also want to make a few remarks. But I take it that the Speaker has done that on behalf of Parliament. That will go for the Secretary to Parliament. As I hand over formally now to the Secretary of Parliament to then guide us as to who is going to do the presentation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Co-Chairpersons of the Joint Standing Committee, and good morning. Good morning to presiding officers, to the honorable members of the Joint Standing Committee on Financial Management of Parliament, and good morning to the Honorable Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure, colleagues on the platform from Public Works, Parliament, as well as our implementation agent, the Department, Development Bank, rather, of South Africa. So thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. We will be sharing what we call a roadmap to the restoration of Parliament. And this is a report that has enjoyed input both at the level of ourselves as Parliament, as well as the Department of Public Works, as the Minister has alluded to, as well as the item on the detailed project implementation plan that honorable members have asked that it should form part of this. We have now received that detailed implementation plan, more reflecting how this work will be executed over this period. Honorable Chairperson, the report as we are presenting covers the following areas as clearly described in the table of contents: project implementation plan, the description of the deliverables, the milestones, and so on, including the vital elements of financial implications and project governance. Honorable members are fairly aware and will recall the impact of the fire that visited Parliament on the early hours of January 2022, essentially destroying the two chambers of the old assembly and the new wing, with a devastating impact of 17 committee rooms and 284 offices in those buildings that were completely gutted down. This also necessitated that Parliament must then shift to alternative operating arrangements, wherein, as we currently do, operate in the Kudo Chamber and the City Hall, depending on the nature and scale of operations in terms of joint sittings or NA sittings and so on. To date, one of the houses that was partially affected, the National Council of Provinces, we were able to restore it fairly quicker, as at August 6. The NCOP was able to return to its full operation, and the impact of absence of offices of members as clearly detailed here, we have an impact of 210 offices that we need to provide for members, and so far we have identified two floors in our 90-plane building, wherein we will be able to make modifications to refurbish 155 of those. The balance of the 210 leaves us still in demand of 55 offices from members. We are currently in the process of identifying where we could locate those offices, either outside or inside the precinct. The issue of the 17 committees that have been destroyed, we are also planning to factor that in the arrangements around securing additional offices. But ideally, as the Parliament, if we were to function fully optimally, we need about 46 committees. But in terms of programming work, honorable members, as you know, for both houses, it is not practical at any given time to convene all at once, given the fact that many members serve in multiple committees. And therefore, if we were to say optimally there's a demand, ideally we need 46 committees, but we are able to operate. If we secure the 17, then members will be able to function at best in terms of how the program of the work of Parliament goes. We have also had a discussion in terms of a formal request to the Department of Public Works, and we are grateful that the Minister is considering the matter, wherein we have made a representation for the 8th and the 14th floor of the 90 Plain Street to be considered for a phased out allowance of space for Parliament to utilize and take into account any other contractual obligations of tenancies that may be there. And Public Works would be able to look at that and advise. We remain optimistic. If it were to be accommodated, it would ensure that Parliament actually operates with all the additional members, 55 offices and committee rooms within the precinct of Parliament, as opposed to looking for operations in scattered environments. So we have also, in terms of the building, also identified capabilities of ourselves as Parliament, especially on project management. And we realize that it will take some time for us to build project management capacity. And we must also explore other possibilities. And one of those was to look at the organs of state who are established as such to provide infrastructure solutions to state departments. And as members would recall, in January 2022, the Department of Public Works undertook assessment both at a primary level as well as detailed level on the impact of the fire on the building. And those reports were then completed around 14 April and also around 25 May. And those were then presented to Parliament around 27 May. Also, honored members of the committee will recall that same reports on 23 September were also shared in a presentation by Public Works and also in terms of Parliament, wherein Public Works commissioned the services of Kuha Development Corporation to undertake such detailed work in terms of the impact of the work. This also reflects to the legal obligations of Public Works as a state landlord, as a power in terms of the infrastructure management, in terms of the immovable asset management. And in examination of its own mandate, Public Works indicated to us that there are avenues within which Parliament may be empowered to be able to consider implementing this project. And Parliament has since explored one of those avenues as articulated in Section 19 of GIAMA Act in terms of approaching the Minister to consider the transfer of custodial powers to Parliament to enable Parliament to ensure alignment of empowering provisions in terms of the Powers and Privileges Act that entrust the responsibility of the entire precinct of Parliament to the presiding officer. And in the absence of that custodial strength, it also renders Parliament unable to exercise and enjoin combined jurisdiction over that area. So it was in that context that as we implement restoration, we need to consider invoking that avenue of Section 19 of GIAMA to request the Minister to release those custodial powers to enable Parliament to do that with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance. So that correspondence is currently in consideration by the Ministry of Public Works. What are the elements of the project that would be undertaken by Parliament in implementing the restoration? Essentially, honored members, it covers four interrelated elements. The first one would be the refurbishment of the burnt buildings, meaning the old assembly, the link buildings, and the new wing. The second deliverable that we have scoped is around the remodeling of the fourth and fifth floor to create additional offices of 155 members. If we are successful in being accommodated on the 8th to the 14th floor, as a recent request we have made to the Minister, that would also entail dealing with that aspect of... Is the slide not moving?
Yes, I see the slide is not moving.
Right from the beginning, from members or from where I'm currently on slide from the beginning. 6. From the beginning.
Right from the beginning.
My sincere apology. On my side, it's moving as I'm talking. So I was not aware on that. I would start at the beginning.
We've shared the documents on our platform, on our WhatsApp group. Please, for ease of reference, we can also follow from that
unless if you are using the same gadget as the one that you have the WhatsApp group on. Okay, fine. We are okay now.
May I request, Chair, with your permission, I'm currently on slide 6. Is it visible now to all members?
Yes, it is.
Should I proceed from here or should I go back to the beginning?
No, proceed.
Proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So these are essentially the four components of the project in terms of the remodeling of the fourth and fifth floor. And if we're successful on the phased accommodation of the 8th to the 14th floor, which will provide total solutions to Parliament, we would also ensure that we do that work. The redesign of the parliamentary precinct, Honourable Members will recall that from time to time, there's been work done by Parliament in exploring the expansion scope and potential of the precinct to make sure that usability of the precinct in terms of interoperability of our systems, but also general mobility and convenience. It would be desirable that we have a functional precinct as opposed to what we have at the moment. So part of looking at restoration is also to firm up that work in terms of parliamentary precinct. The last part will be around facilities management. As we have the facilities, we would also be looking at scoping this work, engaging with public works in detail in terms of how best we would also in the process as facilities are built and part of consideration of the implementation of Section 19 modalities of GIAMA, consider Parliament gradually managing its facilities in terms of its own maintenance. Next slide. May I check? I'm on slide 7 now. Is it showing also on the side? Thank you very much. So in terms of the implementation of the project, Honourable Members, it will be a multidisciplinary team, ourselves as Parliament, the implementation agent, National Treasury, and the Department of Public Works in terms of ensuring successful implementation project, meaning the project implementation committee will be comprised of those key institutions with the agent accounting to those committees. And we have identified Development Bank of Southern Africa as announced that it would assist Parliament in undertaking this work in terms of looking at its own track record. And these are essentially the components around the project milestones that would entail the site handover from the Department of Public Works to Parliament and also the implementation agent around the 6th of March, Monday. This is our identified date to be able to do that. Secondly, the rubble removal that would also be certain deliverables around that matter. For us to remove the rubble, the first element will be the structural engineers determining pathways for us to be able to say if there were to be movements in that facility, what were the safe pathways that the assessment has identified to make sure that those are clearly marked up so our rubber removal can take place. Thereafter, detailed design and confirmation of costs will be undertaken. Then the procurement process, the execution, as well as handover period, which are fairly contractual frameworks of managing any new developments. The second deliverable, as I indicated, the remodeling of offices, the precinct redesign, and the total facilities management. The next slide is the project timeframes. The remodeling of offices, we envisage that by April 2023, it is our desire that these offices, at least in the fourth and fifth floor, must be completed by that period, meaning March and April, to ensure day and night work happening around those offices, taking into account the advantage that it's not an open site. It will be work done in a building that already is roofed. So we believe that a contractor should be able to schedule his work such that it's able to be granted 24-hour work around the site, with strengthened security of Parliament to make sure that those matters are managed properly. The refurbishment project is planned to be completed in 24 months, with a period of 6 months that deals with snagging, as well as the liability phase for any other matters that may happen. The next slide is around the motivating factors for the Development Bank as an inflation agent. As we all know, and perhaps very established in a number of national departments, wherein the Development Bank of Southern Africa has established a capacity around multidisciplinary teams to manage project implementation, but also their fee structure, which is fairly competitive around the cost recovery model that they are operating under. And looking into Parliament in terms of its own heritage nature, they also have a relationship that they have worked in many other facilities with the South African Heritage Resource Agency, and that will be a central requirement to restore a heritage building like Parliament. Next slide. The next area is on the issue of the projects that they have implemented. We have sampled some of the projects that they have implemented, and in terms of those projects, can we go to the next slide? May I request Cindy to move to the next slide?
Are we on this? I'm on the one with the table. The next one is the nature of the project.
Yes. Are you on this one with a table on top? It says track record. Is that the one?
Yes, that is. I am moving as you move.
Oh, thank you very much.
No problem.
The honourable members, my apology on that. This is some of the project portfolio that they are implementing, which we believe that it does demonstrate a capability and scale to manage projects of this nature. Next slide. Around the legal framework of managing this project, as it requires agents on our side, we have considered the need to implement this project within the shortest possible time, in order to restore services to members. We have also examined our own legal framework in terms of the financial management of Parliament and provincial legislatures to ensure that our restoration project is legally protected. The need for members to return to the precinct was also one of those areas that we considered in terms of moving in speed. The next slide is on the project governance. How will we implement and monitor this project? These are some of the areas where they will be touched on. At the bottom, honourable members, will be the technical committee comprising relevant teams from Parliament, DBSA, National Treasury, and Public Works, as indicated earlier. Then we would also have a project steering committee at the highest level to consider signing off some of the work, meaning Parliament, National Treasury, and Public Works, and also at the highest level in terms of the immigration agent. We were also considering the possibility of establishing and desirability, rather, of a multi-party steering committee for regular feedback on the progress. But as we presented also at the level of chief whips, it was indicated to us that perhaps the joint standing committee is the most structured multi-party committee that is also empowered in terms of the rules to make sure that it's able to enforce proper monitoring and adherence to the rules. And that will be the committee that will be considering as the parliamentary oversight as legally empowered for projects of this nature and any other performance of Parliament. Around the financial implications, honourable members, an amount of 2 billion and has been outlined by the Minister of Finance during the medium-term budget policy statement 27 of October last year as a first tranche to allocate for implementation of this project. It will then be tranched to us on a yearly basis, depending on the drawdown requirements of spending what shall have been appropriated to Parliament. The second factor that has also been realized is that there are unforeseen expenditures that are occasioned by the absence of operating facilities. In that regard, we need to operate on-site, off-site, hybrid, including the destruction of broadcasting capability of Parliament that has been impacted. So Treasury allocated an additional 118 million rand to enable Parliament to do remedial work around restoring offices of members and other related matters. In terms of the detail of the project, as I've indicated, for the 24 months, as also to ensure that the fee structure for the project is kept at 4.5% of the overall total project cost. So that's basically the project around the financial implications and our project implementation for our work. A separate slide, honorable members, will be what has been requested, that we must also develop a detailed implementation framework. And that is what I would request to the chairperson, that we touch on that area in terms of the outline of the presentation. That speaks to the indicative schedules for the implementation of the project. And that talks the timelines that members have asked, so that there's a better monitoring of the deliverables. I would like my colleague from the implementation agent to touch on those areas, Mr. Chwene, to touch on the key highlights of what would be involved in managing this part, as we have asked them on Tuesday to develop the detailed implementation framework of this area. So, Mr. Chairperson, I would ask Mr. Chwene and Secretariat to load the project rollout plan, and I would ask them to implement, means rather to outline those areas.
Chairperson, I'm going to type the presentation now. I only just received it, so members don't have this presentation, but I will share it with you shortly. Members, is the presentation visible?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Over to Mr. Trennan.
Thank you so much.
Am I allowed to ask a question before this presentation I did?
Unfortunately not. Let's give them a chance to present till the end. Moreover, that we have too many apologies around 10 o'clock. At least let's get this one done, then we can discuss. I think it will not take more than 5 minutes for them to conclude. You may proceed in that sense.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Greetings to the presiding officers, honorable ministers, and honorable members. My name is Chwene Rampele. I'm the group executive for infrastructure delivery in the Development Bank of Southern Africa. I'm with a team that is tasked to deal with this particular assignment, which is basically I've got Ms. Swazi Majav, she's on the platform, and I've got Niraj, who's a program manager, who's going to take us through the nitty-gritties and the details. And I've got Simone, who is the infrastructure procurement head from our side. So this is the delegation that we have to just come and share with you our schedule. So I must just preamble that the schedule that we've developed is particularly premised on ensuring that we have got a better planning from concept designs, detailed designs, and the procurement that is particularly full of integrity and the regularity of the process itself. So in particular, without having to waste much more of the time, I'm going to chairperson ask my program managers in Russia, Namju, to take us through the presentation, and I think he can really do it within the next 5 minutes that you are coordinating. Mr. Namju, Niraj?
Thank you very much, GE, and good morning, all protocol observed. Chair or Secretariat, if you could please move on to the next slide, or maybe rather let me just talk to what the program breakdown structure is intended to achieve. We have effectively broken up the program for infrastructure works into four primary work packages, this being an early works component where some work is intended to take place prior to the actual restoration works. Then the restoration project itself, which is the largest component of the plan. And then a master plan for the Parliament precinct. And as mentioned by the Secretary of Parliament, a total facilities management component for the entire precinct. The early works component is further subdivided into four minor work packages that are meant to achieve safe access passages, as well as for monitoring, ongoing monitoring purposes and quantification of rubble removal, some scanning works, and then the removal of debris together with a temporary roof covering for the facility to prevent further water damage and water ingress during rainy periods. And then in parallel with those activities is the refurbishment of the fourth and fifth floors at 90 Plain Street to create 155 offices for members. If I could please have the next slide. This view is really a consolidation of all of the milestones that is intended to be achieved from the date of the project handover to the DBSA next Monday. We are looking at the completion of the safe access routes during this month of March, and the removal of rubble, debris, and the temporary roof installations to begin in May, and this is preceded by a process of quantifying the volume and the tonnage of rubble and debris to be removed from the old and new assembly buildings. We have planned a works period there of 30 days, and I do wish to state that these are currently indicative timelines. We will know definitive timelines as we get access to work at out of normal working hours in the precinct, and through that we can accelerate any construction periods. We intend not just to remove the rubble, but also to erect a temporary covering for the open areas where there was damage to the roof. The temporary offices, we are targeting an accelerated timeline. These timelines are also indicative and need to be preceded by some level of design, as well as a procurement period. As indicated by the secretary, this facility is prone to working two shifts per day or more, depending on the appetite of contractors that we invite. And I also wish to state upfront for procurement that we will follow open tender processes for all contractors to be appointed for the various works. The master plan for the precinct is intended to be completed in December 2023, with a target date for the restoration and complete upgrading of the new assembly being September 2025, which takes into account a construction period of between 21 and 24 months, and a handover of the facility back to Parliament around October 2025. If I could please have the next slide. Following slides actually have detailed Gantt charts or project plans for the different components as well as the procurement strategies that the DBSA will be using. Chair, I'm not sure if I should go into the detail of each and every slide. These slides are quite voluminous in terms of content. If I could be guided on that, GE.
I think just 2 seconds, for everyone, just to relate it back to the initial slides, Niraj. I think it will take you 2 minutes.
Okay, thank you, sir. All right, thank you. This first component speaks to work packages A.1 and A.2, which is largely to do with determination of the safe access passages in the fire damaged building. The next slide talks to the detailed schedule for the removal of debris, as well as the installation of a temporary roof covering. As indicated, we intend to have this completed by the 11th of July, with de-establishment by the contractor around the 18th of July. The de-establishment period will be moving off all of the plant from site, any scaffolding and propping, etc., that may be required for installation of the temporary roof covering. The slide after this talks to work package A3, which is the offices. And the next slide, which is the larger work package, speaks to the actual restoration project. If we could please move to that slide. As indicated, from a procurement strategy point of view, in this instance, both the professional team and the contractor will be appointed to an open public tender process that will be driven by the DBSA, and some of the key milestone dates are reflected below that. In terms of the construction start being December 2024, with completion being September 2025. Apologies, I think I do have a typo there. The start date for construction should have been the 4th of December 2023. Humble apologies for that. That start date is reflected on the detailed schedule on the slide. Some of the key components of this slide that we have to factor in is the construction work permit that will be applied for from the Department of Labor, as well as the heritage permit application and approval from the South African Heritage Resources Agency. Chair, the next slide talks to work package C, which is the precinct master plan, which we intend to have completed by December this year, and with approval being granted by Parliament for that after iterations and consultations in January 2024. Chair, then the last slide really talks to a process and the DBSA's model for total facilities management. And in this regard, the actual implementation of total facilities management will be preceded by a pre-implementation planning and scoping period of around 5 months, which we will complete by August 2023. Apologies again for the typo on 2023, Chair. Julie and Chair, I will stop there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. That would be also our presentation, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We welcome the report. As I invite members to then engage with the report. I see the hand of Tim. Oh, Mandolin, you're going to be the first one. Mandolin, you're going to be the first one, followed by Tim. Matapelo, Luisa, and then Etanguini, Doris Chagui. In order, I don't have to call you again, please. Just follow one another so that we save time. Madeline,
sorry, did you note me, Chair?
You are noted. That's fine. You'll come up the back here, David.
Thank you so much, Chair. My first question, Chair, is what process was followed to appoint DBSA? Justin, a question for me, please, Chair. The second question that I have is, I noted on page 8 of the first presentation that the design and cost was still not done. I'm a little concerned about that, given that we have a figure of two, the rest to be paid on an annual basis. If I could have a little more clarity on that. I know that it, to an extent it could be a moving target, but with a figure of 2 billion rand, one would assume that that would be more or less a set in stone price. So if there is going to be more than 2 billion rand, it is a concern for me. I am just more concerned on the establishment of how DBSA was decided on as the total facilities management partner for this contract. I'm not unhappy about it. I just want to know the process by which the Parliament settled on DBSA. I'll leave it there. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I go?
Yes, agree. I want to noting. We'll just follow the list. Okay. Yes, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, so the questions I have are as follows. On slide 3 of the first presentation, Chairperson, this first thing is, can we please request that the second presentation that Cindy only got this morning can be circulated to us as soon as possible? That's point number one.
Okay.
Point number two, on the first presentation, slide 3, the last point, there's indication of flaws that were made available for offices in the Plain Street building. And then also it said in the same slide that the minister is considering the release of floors 8 to 14. And I'm assuming because the presentation doesn't give us anything else, any other concrete information, that this is going to be for committee rooms. Now, Chairperson, you will know they've been sitting for 1 year now, over 1 year, waiting for in-person committee meetings, and the excuse has always been is that we have no space because of the fire. And you, in yourself, Eric, or I think the Speaker of the National Assembly pointed out this morning, we really have to get back to in-person meetings. And the question I have is on that is, why has it taken Public Works and Infrastructure 1 year to respond? Is the minister still considering the use of floors 8 to 14 in the Plain Street building? If she's still considering it, can it please be expedited as soon as possible? It's absolutely unthinkable that we're still sitting having meetings on Zoom, and with load shedding, it's becoming more and more difficult to have those meetings, as load shedding is our daily aspect of our lives. The other thing that we have to ask as parliamentarians is, why has this taken so long to get started? We're sitting over a year later. And if I look at slide 4, I see some of the clues. The reports were done in May 2022, which I understand receiving the reports takes time. But then it was only presented to this committee in September 2022, which is about 4 months later. And it's now, in March today, we're getting this final report. So it's taken over a year just to get us to the point where we are actually starting to get ready to go. I think Public Works must account for that. Why has that taken so long to get to this point? And then I thank the second presentation for giving us a set idea of when we should be finished. The next question I have is that, what level of oversight will this committee have in terms of the procurement process? Are we going to be informed 6 months after somebody's been appointed that they were appointed, or will we be taken through the procurement process as it happens? Because, Chairperson, I'm sorry, this government has a very, very bad history of this being an opportunity for people to feed. And I think we've got to stop that and almost have real-time audits, maybe with the Auditor General going along to make sure that this is a tight exercise from a financial point of view. And then finally, my final question, Chairperson, is during the course of the work which was set out by DBSA, there's a lot of infrastructure in Parliament. I'm talking about the road infrastructure, I'm talking about buildings that could possibly be damaged by heavy-duty vehicles moving in and out of Parliament. What what assurance do we have that heavy-duty, the cobblestone path roadways in Parliament, the marble blocks that that litter that are all over our roadways are not built for 10-ton trucks and the like? What on earth is DBSA going to do to make sure that while they're removing all the rubble, while they're doing all the work, while they're bringing in building material, that they're going to be looking after the existing structure of Parliament and also the safety of parliamentarians when we walk about doing our business during the day, that somebody isn't bumped over by a truck or whatever the case may be? So what level of safety for the members, but also what level of safety and preservation of existing infrastructure is going to be undertaken whilst the job is going on? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. This is Honorable Suisa, committee member of Public Works. Chair, my first question would be, can we be provided as to how much was spent to repair the other house that was partially damaged? And then, Chair, I have a problem that the first presenter of the first presentation spoke about they are still lacking project management, and it's going to be a problem if we are in the sixth parliament and we are still sitting with a department of public works that have, they still have to work on project management. Then we become worried because everything we rely on public works, and if they lack or they feel like they still need to work on project management, then it's worrisome to some of us. And then I think Honorable Hicklin already has alluded or asked the question on the selection of DBSA, because as the Committee of Public Works, we have a problem with these other bodies or entities that you don't have jurisdiction over, that they are going to be preferred by the Department of Public Works for them to take over projects. So my question would also be, what criteria was used? Because Public Works already has an entity, IDT, that can deal with anything that needs to be dealt with. And yet every time we are faced with the issue of IDT is going to be put aside, we always have to fight for IDT to be given the platform to do the work that they are supposed to be doing. But every time we are faced with DBSA or PUHA or any other body out there other than the one that Public Works or the Committee of Public Works has jurisdiction on. So it's of a great concern that every time we are thrown with DBSA and PUHA. So what were the criteria? What made Public Works and Parliament to end up deciding that DBSA is the best person to do the project and not consider IDT as an entity that we can do oversight on? Thank you.
Honorable Co-Chair.
Yes?
Is it me who's next?
Yes, Ma. Is it in that order?
Thank you very much. Morning to the Speaker of the National Assembly, Minister of Public Works, STP, the officials, and honorable members. Honorable Chair, let me start by welcoming the presentation made by the Secretary to Parliament and his team. We appreciate the fact that you opted for the best implementing agency in this country, DBSA, which its track record speaks for itself. We appreciate that. And also to say that we appreciate the phasing out of the thought of getting offices in the 90 plane, opening for more offices and boardrooms, of course. I think of that. We appreciate that. Honorable Chairperson, what I want to indicate here is that the overseeing, the committee that will be doing oversight is this committee other than anything else. So there's no need, there will be no need for having another multi-party committee. We have this joint financial management committee of parliament, which will be doing oversight over this project. We appreciate that. Then, Honorable Chair, as for the safety of members in the precinct and all those things, I'm sure this will be taken care of, and also the tightening of security around Parliament during that period. So the steering committee will be the administrative steering committee. It's fine. We don't have any problem with that if that happened. But the committee, which must be taken on board and which will be overseeing this project, is this one. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We appreciate and the speed with which this project will be implemented. Thank you.
Thanks, House Chair. I think it's me that is next after the Honorable Doris. House Chair, I agree with the speaker on the plight that you've made. We need to move back to physical attendance of committees, and especially such important committees that are dealing with the rebuild of Parliament and the amount of money that will be spent and to perform our oversight role over the monies that we'll be spending to in the rebuild of Parliament. What is quite concerning is really the time frame that have been taking the Department of Public Works to move with speed in ensuring that Parliament is rebuilt, and within a set space of time is now 2 years. And according to the presentation of DBSA, we're going to wait another 3 years to get Parliament fully fleshed in Operation Glory again. So I really hope that, Chair, that we won't be delayed by Public Works, because I always make an example as to you can just look where you stay as members of Parliament, and you use that as an example that wow is the services of Public Works, and then you apply it to Parliament. So I really hope that they will really be faster in the work that they will be doing within Parliament, because it's really not okay that 2 years after the fire, we are talking today in a committee on the removal of the rubble. 2 years after the fire, it's only today that we are talking about the removal of the rubble, and when is that gonna happen? So it is quite concerning in that regard. And I'm standing with the members that spoke to, we need to find out what was the requirements in appointing DPSA into the implementing agent of this project. Because as I can see on slide, on the first presentation that the Secretary to Parliament have given to us, I would really like to find out in terms of the list of projects that you have listed there and the combined project budget, did DBSA perhaps went over budget, or they have, or have they completed the projects within the stipulated budgets? Because that is also very important that we need to check that we don't have a situation that tomorrow people are going to tell us that we need more money and we need to have a special appropriations
a bill for Parliament to get more money in the rebuild of Parliament. So we need to also establish that in all of these projects that was listed, did they perhaps went over the prescribed budget? And I think it's also important on the presentations that they do fix the completion dates, because it spoke, there was one of the presentations that I unfortunately couldn't get, that the gentleman spoke that he has made a mistake on the date, so on the start date. So I just want to find out, is the completion date still the same? Are we getting Parliament back in 2025? So it looks like after the 2024 elections, members will be sworn in the City Hall again. So we need to move away from this thing of City Hall. It looks like we have some alliance with the City Hall and Parliament can't function any other place. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Just a couple of questions on my side. I think, Chair, we can all agree this has been a frustratingly long process. As a previous speaker said, the fact that we are only receiving the reports that were presented this year and removing, you know, primary functions such as removing rubble this year is something that, you know, I don't think that it is necessarily the beacon of excellence. But nonetheless, we are here now. And I've seen and read through the roadmap that the Sheikh Rashid Parliament has presented. I wanted to just ask, perhaps in conjunction from the SCP and the DBSA, that I heard that reconstruction, I'm assuming that is just the rebuilding, will begin on the 4th of December. So I just need clarity on, you know, is that the work that will be done or a particular phase of the project, the issue around the 4th of December? Because, of course, we didn't get the presentation that was presented this morning. So I'm just relying on what I heard being said. I also want to agree with the Deputy Chief Whip of the ANC that this body is the correct one to do oversight. I think often, as the presenter last week indicated, I think often we underestimate the powers of this committee and what this committee actually is empowered to do. And having oversight on this project is probably going to become the single most important thing that we do as a committee between now and the end of the term. So I agree that this is the correct body to do oversight, but it must be empowered. And as the speaker said, we must prioritize meeting religiously. Often our committee doesn't curate, and we have to can't take decisions and the like. And so I think as committee members ourselves, we've got to take the work that we've got to do quite seriously. Then the other question that I wanted to ask, is because we are the oversight body on this matter, it's important for us to understand where the work of public works begins and ends, and where the work of DBSA begins and ends. I ask this in particular because I fear there may be overlaps. I understand that the building will be handed over soon, but where does the work of DBSA begin and end? And who then do we hold accountable for the work that is being done under DBSA that Public Works is not going to be doing? Because I fear of overlaps and gaps in particular. Then lastly, the financial control. How is Parliament, the parliamentary administration, envisioning that we as a committee are going to be kept up to date with not only just the finances or the money spent, but also that linked to deliverables? And how often do we think it is necessary to be able to look at those without hobbling the work that must be done? Thank you.
Thank you, Co-Chairperson.
I want you to be the last one. Can we allow Tyson to
speak? All right. So,
Chair, I had my hand up for quite some time, but I didn't want to disturb. Thank you.
Yes, Chair, Chairperson, I've also got my hand up raised. Thank you, Sheikh Imam.
It's fine. It's going to be Kaiso Singh Imam.
Thank you very much, Honorable Co-Chairperson. And thanks for the presentation made by the team of the speaker. And firstly, Chair, I also want to express our deepest condolences to the family of Honorable I also want to express my deepest condolences to the honorable member who has passed on and to her colleagues and the family. So my quickest question or response first is to accept the fact that there is a progress indeed in as far as refurbishment of Parliament is concerned, given the report that we have received from the Secretary of the Parliament. And I also want to emphasize what my colleagues have said. This committee plays a very an important role as an oversight structure. So it would not make any sense that we have been established as a portfolio committee at the same time we want to outsource our responsibility. So I want to agree firmly with the assertion that this committee should be the one. We should not establish another parallel committee. I just want to come to this point, unless maybe I was lost or I did not catch it quite well when it was presented. I don't think the issue of DBSA was said for the first time in this meeting. Perhaps the Secretary would mind. It's not for the first time that this point about the DBSA came to our attention in this meeting. I remember the Secretary was explaining something why the DBSA had to be looked at as an alternative agent which can assist in as far as project management, especially with regard to heritage matters. So it was preferred because of its track record in as far as executing massive projects successfully. I just recalled the explanation during that period when the DBSA matter was raised in this meeting. So I'm not sure why it is now causing a knee-jerk at this level. But however, I think it will be upon our own responsibility not to undermine ourselves to give ourselves enough space by ensuring that we definitely rather come up with a mechanism that will ensure that we meet as and when it is necessary when it comes to issues of oversight. If we do have a sense that we definitely have to realign our operation as a committee in terms of time and time management with our meeting and programs, let it be so that we give it enough attention such that these loopholes or whatever that may be a leakage, we are able to identify at an advanced stage. Because dealing with such a very massive project, it needs a lot of insight and a lot of look into. So I would propose that we definitely have to realign where it's necessary our respective individual tasks, such that this one we give it attention as well, like any other critical matter that it has. It is upon ourselves that this parliament should find itself, fully functional in terms of its structure. So no any other committee then will come and assist us. So we definitely have to pay attention to that. yes, so that would be my input around it. Otherwise, I find the progress being acceptable. Thank you, Honorable Co-Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It's Singh here. Just to say that in another forum, I did see this presentation and ask questions, but for the record for this meeting, I will ask the questions again, although the Secretary, I think, is aware of some of them. The first general comment is that I believe officers for members should not be a priority, as is getting all of us in Parliament to operate physically. And to that extent, I asked, and I want to ask again, about phasing in the work that's scheduled and partial handover. Now, what I mean by partial handover, the NCOP, I would imagine, has been handed over. We've heard that. It's fully functional. When can the old assembly be handed over with all that we require? Because I believe, but that's subject to anybody else saying anything else, that we could accommodate the majority, if not all 400 of us from the National Assembly in the old assembly to continue with the work of Parliament. So I want to know about partial handover and phases. I also want to know whether in carrying out this work, which in some ways can be, you know, quite fortunate for us, although the burning was very, very unfortunate. We've been talking about equipping our committee rooms, having sufficient committee rooms, making sure they have video conferencing, et cetera, et cetera. Has that been factored in? I do know the answer, but I think for this meeting, we need to know the answer. Has that been factored in? The other issue is the full assessment. What we were told before is there hasn't been a complete inspection of the entire damage, because rubble will still have to be removed. So what we are seeing now are probably based on what we expect to have been damaged, but when will that full assessment be done so that we can get more complete answers on the handover? And I just want to emphasize, we must as quickly as possible, even before the end of 2024, be able to function as a parliament in the old assembly, because I think that can take all of us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairpersons, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. I think load shedding starts in 2 minutes or 3 minutes. But first of all, I think what we cannot dispute is the urgency in which we need to move to ensure that we get Parliament functioning fully. Challenges we're experiencing currently with the IT system, poor signals, load shedding, I think it is clear that now there's a greater need to speed up this entire process. My concern is that there's so much of red tape here and discussions that seem to be going on, which is slowing down the process of getting construction to commence so that we can complete it timeously and get back to working as a parliament and function in its entirety. The second thing is I want to know, could somebody clarify for me, Chairperson, the Public Works and Parliament, who are both going to have joint responsibility? And like I think my honourable colleague from the DA raised the concern of overlaps, you know, how you to actually deal with this particular problem. So there's no disagreements that won't have an impact. The committee, I'm told, will be the one responsible. We have the next necessary skills and expertise on this particular committee, which deals with finances and other issues. Will we consider at some stage engaging with expertise to come in and guide us and advise us so that we are in touch with making sure that the project is running in a satisfactory manner and will meet the necessary deadlines and, of course, financial obligations in terms of the estimated budget. Now, I know we're talking about 2 billion rand estimated, a little bit more, and we all know this country loses 40% or about 300 billion on goods and services because of overpricing. And in infrastructure or in construction, this is where we tend to lose a lot of money
soon as jobs have commenced, we then get escalation. We didn't realize this will happen and that will happen and all those things. And so the prices start escalating, and often it even ends up to be double. I'd love to know how would we deal with them. I know there's some indication, and perhaps I haven't read it properly, that we might be commencing in December, but I know there's a holiday period after that and things like that. So all that is going to impact. But I want to agree that I don't think offices is a priority. We have offices. We have our homes. We're living in the parliamentary villages. And we must be honest that we're sitting with an abnormal, and priority should be getting Parliament working. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone before Harebe? Then Harebe come in.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, a person would like to appreciate the reports which were presented today, namely by the Secretary to Parliament and the TPSA, and the opening remarks of the Speaker and the Minister. They are highly appreciated. But before I can even get anywhere on this issue, Honourable Chairperson, the Joint Standing Committee is an extension of the House, that's the extension of Parliament. So it means that we do not have party political regalia in this meeting. I think that if someone is wearing a party political regalia, that person must not show the screen up there. Now, I think that that one must be the protocol which must be observed true and true, because there can be chaos if everyone can come with a party political regalia in the meeting. Chairperson, as I said, that I really appreciate the work done up to now. I think that if you can go a little bit backwards, remember that the first tranche which was paid to Parliament of that one of 118 million rands came after the adjustment budget. So there was no way in which the Parliament of the Department of Public Works could have expedited the restoration of Parliament. I think that the issue, when the minister presented to us, the finance minister presented it to us last year, I think they indicated that what we must actually really appreciate is that even in the current budget, the budget which was presented now, the 2 billion rand has been committed. That's why we raised it last year when the parliament wanted to take the project to be an implementing agent to take the project on its own. We were worried that Parliament has never implemented such a big project of infrastructure nature. So that they have agreed with the Department of Public Works, and then that Parliament will implement and the money will be directed, go straight to Parliament. That one must be appreciated. But the appointment of the DPSA, the DPSA is a public entity. That's why we're already benefiting from that. But the fact that it is a public entity, the management fees are already at 4.5% of the project, which is far lower than the industry standard. So that's why that credit must be given to Parliament and Department of Public Works to have done that, identified and agreed on the DPSA, because already the benefits are being seen now. Number two, Chair, I think that when coming to the issue of the track record of the DPSA, it's very clear. It's very clear.
On a point of order, House Chair. We are really now being abused. On a point of order.
Let's allow the member to...
But I'm raising a point of order on him, Chair. How can he continue, Emma, raising a point of order? Santi, where are we? I mean, we have invited entities here. We have invited the minister. How come we have now Honorable Khadebe responding on behalf of them? The next time they have not come to the committee, then he can just respond on all of our questions. That is abuse.
No. All right, Chairperson, can I come in?
That's all, member. Let's give each and every one of us a chance to participate.
Honourable Chairperson, There is no one who will tell me how I must express myself here. As I didn't interfere with anyone when they were saying that this government is basically useless, is on the turf. Whereupon, I didn't interfere with that because they had got a right to that opinion. So there's no one who can tell me what I must say because I'm a member of parliament in my own right here. So that's why I'm saying that the Minister of Finance was here, and then in the budget debate, the 2 billion rand was provided. So the issue that the 2 billion rand was provided, as I'm the whip of the party, of the ANC, which is the governing party, we are in total support that the TPSA was appointed. And then, but what we also want to emphasize is that we must get regular reports. We support that the TPSA was appointed, but what is critical here is that we are going to request regular reports. And the first time from the report which we have, they say that by end of April, the offices will have been finished. So it means that by end of April, we need the first report of what has transpired with those offices. And then if someone come that the offices are not important, the governing party has lost a lot of offices there. A lot of the members of the government don't have space to work in. So the issue of the offices are very important. So that's why that at the end of April, we are going to need that report. But what is critical here, we also support the fact that multi-party type of monster which was being suggested, that it must monitor the project, is wrong. The statutory body, which is established by law, that it must oversee the funds of parliament, is the Joint Standing Committee on Financial Management of Parliament. But it is going to oversight that. But this committee does not have a right to micromanage the project. So it means that we cannot expect that they tell us before time what company they are going to appoint, whatever it is. But what we need is that we must be given reports regularly. Take, for example, there's a preferential procurement policy of government. So if there are companies which are going to be appointed, we want to see that the companies which belong to the historically disadvantaged individuals are also part of this project. But we cannot, we as the members of this committee, tell the implementing agent that you go and appoint company number A or company number B. But what we expect here is that we must get a regular report so that with the government policy, how they're implementing that. So, take for example, just like in the prevent procurement policy, it's very clear that the companies which belong to the disabled people, which belong to the youth and the women, they must get a chance to do that. So in the report, which must go in the quarterly way, we must get regular reports on how, which companies which are complying with that, but we cannot come beforehand that you say you go and appoint companies, so and so, because as the Joint Standing Committee, we are not a lobby group. We are here to oversee how the finances of parliament are expended. And then number three, Chairperson, I'll agree with the speaker that when we come and deal with this thing, the quarterly report of parliament, when we deal with the quarterly report of this project, we must be physical here. We must be physical. We must be physical so that we can be able to interact so that we don't have this, so that we don't have this disruption which is coming from the issue of the load shedding. And then the last but not the least, Chairperson, as I said, that the work done up to so far is good. I think that must be appreciated and supported. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I will then now hand over to the STP, then they will decide how to share responses. This is work in progress, and as agreed, we want this project to be expedited, but we should, by all means, be within the framework of the law. Secretary to Parliament.
Chairperson. Chair. Let me just respond to two things before the STP comes in, because there will be a lot of technical work which we'll have to deal with and administrative processes which have been raised by members, which the STP will have to deal with together with the team. Chairperson, just to clarify two things to honourable members. I mean, there's been reference here to 2 years. Parliament, by the way, bent down on the 2nd of February 2022. February 2022, January 2022. We are now in February 2023. So we're not talking 2 years here. I'm sorry, honorable members, we're talking 1 year. Now, firstly, Parliament, for a period of 6 months after it had been bent down, right, was declared a crime scene. In other words, there was no way in which even public works could have access to the site because it had been declared a crime scene. So for 6 months, there couldn't have been work done in Parliament. So between January and June, that was a crime scene and therefore it was inaccessible. Inaccessible. Number two, now, the allocation for all this work was done through the MPDPS, right? That allocation was done, I think, in November. And that allocation having been done in November meant that it provides a green light for Parliament to begin talking restoration together with the DPWI. A lot of the work which was done, which was very good work, was done by Public Works through Kuha, which was responsible, Chairperson, for the actual assessment of the extent of the damage which was done in Parliament. Now, the issue which has been raised here amongst others is, you mean now only in February 2023 you're talking removal of rubble and so on. The rubble removal will obviously be part of the step which is called the phase of rebuild. We now have Parliament declared as a rebuild site. What that means is that it starts as well with rubble removal before work can be done. And these are some of the things which can be clarified by both the Secretary and the GPSA team. I just thought that it's important that we should keep it at the back of our minds that for a period of 6 months, this Parliament was declared a crime site and therefore you could not have access to the place for anything. So we cannot say that Parliament has not been having Parliament. It's true that we've not been having a site to operate from, but we have provided the little we could by using the Good Hope Center, which was a chamber, which was a decision of the committee, but also a decision of the whole of Parliament. That is where we will operate from. So no work could have begun before a budget allocation had been done, whilst negotiations were on between ourselves and National Treasury and DPWI. No work could have been done. And secondly, as I say, you couldn't have gone in there, even if you had been allocated money, for as long as you had the police and other people were investigating the matter, for as long as the site had been declared a crime scene. So, and also, I think we should also keep in mind, honourable members, as raised by honourable Khadeb, that DPSA is a public entity. It is a public entity, and therefore, some of the progress which we are seeing, the fact that we could now already say, okay, now this is now a bill site starting from beginning of March. It is because of the speed with which things have been done between ourselves and National Treasury. So there is, I believe, nothing will happen which is underground here in the context of DPSA, but of course, as we said, and I think all of us have alluded to the fact that this Joint Standing Committee on Financial Management of Parliament has an oversight responsibility. But of course, having oversight responsibility does not mean it's not equal to micromanagement, as stated by Honorable Kwadebe. The Joint Standing Committee on Financial Management of Parliament will receive a regular report from Parliament on progress made. And of course, as I said earlier on, it will not be all the, we will not have to wait for a month and so on. Sometimes we may have to come to you to just touch base on certain issues, or if you need more information from us about progress which is being made, you are free as the committee to call us in. But as I said, sometimes we may have to actually meet physically, because this is just a committee of parliament like other committees which are meeting, and sometimes we may have to meet physically. We don't have to wait for parliament to be fully restored to do that. In order to have to conduct effective oversight, honorable members, you may actually have to come to parliament and see for yourself and receive reports on work progress which is being made. Lastly, honorable members, there is an issue here which has arisen of whether, no, the issue of the old assembly. Honorable members, if I may remind all of us, there was a time when we were talking possibilities of of building a modular structure on the site of Parliament so that Parliament could proceed with its work. Later on, we said no, in view of the amounts, the estimated amounts given to us through the process, Yaguha, what we are likely to spend on even rebuilding the old assembly chamber. We then decided that let's not go ahead with the modular structure, because we found that the money which should have been used for the modular structure is more or less the same money which we could use, which can, will be used for restoration purposes of the old assembly. So we decided let's go the route of rebuilding our old assembly building, so that a chamber, so that then at least in the phasing approach, there will be space created for sitting. Now, of course, then the STP and the DPSA will talk to the issue of the different phases and how, in fact, the actual restoration of our National Assembly itself, which requires some form of expansion as well, how it is likely to impact on the old assembly chamber, which we want to prioritize in our real building process. So, Chairperson, I hand over to the STP, and the STP will respond to issues which have been raised related to the actual work, and will also bring in the team that is accompanying him to assist in responding to issues raised by members. Thank you, Honorable Member. So I just want my Honorable Member, as a risk of overemphasis, was just to say Honorable Members should not lose sight of the fact that this site was only handed back to those who were dealing with it in June. For 6 months, no one could even go near the doors of Parliament. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairpersons. We have about 10 questions to respond on these matters, and we will share to the extent necessary between ourselves and the the implementation agent, and also
maybe you will have.
Switch off the video. Should I switch off the video, Chairperson? I've switched it off, Chairperson. Can I then proceed, Chairperson? Can I proceed, Chairperson?
Secretary, I think Ms. Mabe is experiencing.
I suspect the chair has a problem with her network.
Is the
SCP,
and maybe I can proceed if the co-chair is allowing me. So,
you can proceed.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Honourable Hicklin, the process that was followed in the appointment of the DBSA, the second question, the cost and the design not yet done, yet we have 2 billion rand. The third question, how did we consider the issue of facilities management? Those are the three main issues raised. I think, Honourable Members, as you would recall, this is the most unprecedented occurrence that is facing Parliament post-1994 in terms of being visited by this hail of fire and the devastating impact that it actually rendered the entire institution unusable in terms of the chambers. So it's one of the most set of extraordinary circumstances that has faced the institution. And therefore, when you look at the capacity of the institution for 29 years, it hasn't had the responsibility to develop what you would ordinarily call project management and capacity of a construction or infrastructure related manner. For good reason, because all the work that we do, given the role of the state landlord, public works and infrastructure, the custodial responsibilities. So when you look at Parliament now, it doesn't have capacity to manage projects, let alone a project of the scale and magnitude. It would have meant that Parliament must start establishing its own capability. And given the extraordinary set of circumstances requiring Parliament to be returned back to full service at a faster possible pace, given its role as a premier institution in the apex of governance of our state architecture, it became extraordinary for us to also move with speed. So as soon as the reports were handed to Parliament by Public Works, both at the presentation of 20th May at the Joint Standing Committee, as well as 23 September, as Parliament, we then, based on the estimates that the TARA assessment of Public Works to KUHA presented to us, including options for rebuild, the timelines involved, I seem to recall that at some stage, the estimates were somewhere around 42 to 48 months in terms of doing this work, and the time factors involved, and the reality that it will be practically impossible to return that heritage building gutted down in terms of what is called like for like rebuilding. Because even before the fire, Honourable Members will recall that the National Assembly, whenever there's joint sitting, there has to be chairs brought from NCOP to be brought there to make sure that the capacity that was limited is also done. The safety requirements that were also not met pre-fire had to be taken into account, and those factors are detailed in the assessment reports that have been done. So in terms of our own capacity, we have to look at a measure that will enable us to move in speed. In my presentation, Honourable Members, you'll recall that I cited, I think in slide 4, on the legal implications, what approach have we followed around this matter, and we have looked at our own legislation, the Financial Management of Parliament and the Provincial Legislatures Act. In particular, the enabling provision in terms of Section 6 around looking at emergency and look at the factors that would inform the degree to which we can move in speed around this matter. The second factor is to look within state capability. Are there institutions within the state that demonstrate necessary capability and strength to be able to do this much? Institutions that would have streamlined processes, that would have the requisite scale for infrastructure projects, as well as project management capabilities. And we have looked at Development Bank of Southern Africa, rather, taking into account, requesting them, show us your project capability statement. And they've given us the portfolio that we have shared with the members. Some of the work that they are doing around streamlining project management capacity that also gave us assurance. One of the members may recall that SANRAL, as the most recent state-owned enterprise, also requested DBSA when it faced difficulties around its 24 billion rand project to move in speed. And in their presentation, DBSA indicated to us it took them 60 months to settle around streamlining procurement, and they're completing that work, as well as a number of projects that they are implementing on new build for hospitals, prisons, schools, and so on. And also around facilities management, we are forward-looking. There is no work completed. You would see on the roadmap that is presented by DBSA, it shows that there will be feasibility assessment, scoping what needs to be done. And that can only be triggered once the request of Parliament made to Public Works in terms of Section 19 is considered. So at subsequent work of Parliament managing its facilities and also maintaining its facilities is a scaled up initiative based on the capacity that Parliament would also build. So the first 6 months will be about scoping the work, and we will work with Public Works. We would also work with DBSA to make sure that consistent and commensurate with our own capability, those matters would be agreed to in our discussion with Public Works, which to date will still require the scoping of that work. The area of the cost drivers, being a state-owned enterprise, as I've indicated, the ceiling of 4.5% that would give them cost recovery to implement that. That was also an impressive area of work for us. And the fact that they were able to say, we can deliver based on emergency 24 months, the kind of work that needs to be done. And to us, that also indicated to us that we will be able to demonstrate to Parliament that given the urgency to restore back to normality, we need to also demonstrate an organization that can do that in terms of its own accountability. Project management scope that involves a multi-encompassing partnership between Treasury, Parliament, and Public Works will be able to put to bear necessary technical monitoring of DBSA, where they will be reporting to those project management structures. And the fact that they are state-owned enterprises, they are also audited by Auditor General. They account to National Treasury, both institutions account to Parliament. So there is necessary assurances to us that it means the line of sight on the secretary mandate of Parliament would not be escaped by any measure possible, because all institutions all come back to Parliament. So in the main, it's the agency to which the matter has to be implemented that persuaded us, especially their own capability to move in speed. Around the issue of the roles between Public Works as well as the DBSA, where will be points of intersection and so on. The site is headed over on Monday as we have planned ourselves as Parliament and the Department of Public Works for the work that they have done so that the structural engineer can move in place, determine pathways where there's safety zones so that when rubble removal takes place, it is coordinated and they're overseen by structural engineers to ensure safety compliance measures. So in the committee that oversee, we will all be done, but it doesn't replace facilities management that is contractually the responsibility in terms of our SLA, as well as statutorily in terms of GMA, that Public Works manages the facilities. So we have not reached that stage in terms of that. So there will be no point of intersection at that point in terms of the FMO component of the work until the scope and until the, such time that the work has been agreed. So those three entities, Treasury, Public Works, Parliament, will be the main committee that receive regular implementation progress from the implementation agent for purposes of sign-off and for purposes of certifying reports, so that drawdown payments on the side of Parliament can then be aligned to the project signed-off schedule. Honourable Brown said, you raised the issue of the 8th floor to the 14th floor to be released. Why does it take long for Public Works? I wouldn't be able to respond on that. I'm sure Honourable Minister and Acting DG might respond. Safe to say that we have made a request to the Minister as a follow-up on Monday, and there's an indication that is assuring to us that the matter will be considered and would be looked at in terms of how it could be phased in, taking into account that there's tenants that are in those floors. So within the current contractual commitment of Public Works, they will be able to examine that and give guidance to us. Our wish is that if it is done speedily, it helps us to respond to the entirety of committee needs of Parliament, as well as additional 35 offices of members that we cannot assist at this point in time. In terms of the proper audit, we agree that the role of Auditor General of South Africa is very central on this matter in terms of auditing Parliament, how it will disperse and manage this fund allocated to Parliament, and secondly, focus on this special project so that regularly there is a report that will be going to the Joint Standing Committee in terms of its own role. So those are the matters that we will be taking into account. The safety concerns to be taken into account in terms of marble tiles, wind trucks. I think the contractors that will be appointed as part of the brief, to the extent necessary to observe those safety measures and be advised on what needs to take into account. Project management teams would also, through their own meetings, Honourable Brown said, to ensure that these issues are conveyed and we are able to monitor this. Honourable Siwisa, why is Parliament not having its acknowledgement to date? I think I've attempted to respond to that, that indeed we don't have it and we have not been geared around matching construction-related work since at least post-1994 democracy in our country. So it's part of the work that we will also, around building our own capacity for facilities management, to start having at least a minimum of project management capacity, so that when we have to monitor future work, we also have our own requisite capacity. We will, however, as part of this project, ensure that there's a construction manager appointed by Parliament to make sure that anything that is signed off by a certified person qualified to do this work, so that when there's accountabilities, we also know that the person in charge of overseeing the site on behalf of Parliament, appointed by Parliament, is also central to monitoring the separation of responsibilities around sign-off. We will be able to look into that. Honourable, a tightening of security during the period, indeed, we'll be looking at those measures so that when there's work happening 24 hours, there's construction vehicles moving on site, part of the overall security plan of Parliament is to improve its own security management to make sure that to the extent possible, issues of safety vulnerabilities and security vulnerabilities are minimized, and we would ensure that happens. Also ensure that areas of safety during construction is taken into account. Indeed, would look at that. Honorable Tranguini, 42, why does it take 2 years to remove rubber? I think Madam Speaker has indicated the limitations that we have faced, that part of this needs to be linked to the actual work of handing over the site. The budget confirmations, as Honourable Khatib has indicated, only took place end of October. And we have been working tirelessly to make sure that we also move in speed in ensuring that there is capacity to implement this money. Will we need more money other than the 2 billion? This is an allocation that has been made by finance and is made on the basis of the report that was presented on detailed assessment. And that detailed assessment, honourable members, you would recall that is also a constrained assessment in the sense that there is rubble in the building. At some stage, there was a heavy water flooding that eventually was removed. Rubble is not yet removed. So construction technical people have made the assessment. And once rubble is moved out and the project is coping in terms of heritage requirements, as well as modifications that we need to make sure that the chamber is all-encompassing in terms of capacity, may as well variable lead to higher cost or may invariable result in containment within the 2 billion. That can only be confirmed when detailed designs in terms of work package number 3 outlined in slides in the roadmap is actually confirmed by the agent that this is what it will entail in terms of the detailed design. And we will be able to report to the committee as regularly required to say this is the final detailed design. Its estimate in terms of costing is that it's going to cost 2 billion or it's going to cost 1.4 billion or it's going to cost 2.6 billion rand. It will not be discovered after the fact. We will bring to the committee and say this is the stage where the detailed design is. These are the cost estimates that are consistent with the signed off design final model. So at Parliament is alive to that reality, even prior to the actual breaking ground around the whole work. So we will be able to account properly for every phase, honorable members. Honorable Kwakube, will the rebuild start on 4 December? Is it the start of all work or part of the work? As presented in the roadmap, this project would be running simultaneous as indicated. The refurbishment of offices, work package number 2, will be running simultaneously the start of the detailed design. So at DBSA is able to procure necessary capacities around this work, get professional teams to do that work. At the same time, once rubble is removed, the fencing of the roofing rather takes place. At the same time, the FM scoping takes place. So all of these will run concurrently, but we believe that once the detailed designs are done, it will enable the implementation agent to start calling for proposals around August, September, October, hence the indicative outer date of 4 December to start the actual construction. So it's not the start of everything, but the actual work, taking into account the need to go to a full procurement process to get the right contractors in place. How often should admin of Parliament report on progress? I think honorable members, as determined in terms of the work program of the Joint Standing Committee, it meets quarterly, it receives quarterly performance reports of Parliament, quarterly financial. This project, given its scale and magnitude, we would also, with your guidance, ensure that we report at least quarterly. Where it is necessary to report less than a quarter, we will be guided by members in terms of the co-chairs, and we will be ready to report. The most ideal will be based on work packages, so that there is progress reported against each expenditure. But it would not stop the committee to ask us at any given time to account in terms of ensuring full transparency for this work. Honorable Kaiso, you have indicated in terms of the motivation for DBSA as a heritage experienced organization and the cost recovery fees as well as their massive infrastructure. Safe to indicate that even on facilities management, DBSA is currently in its portfolio as demonstrated there, having facilities management of the military hospital on behalf of public works, Agrival, I think DBSA building, union buildings, Civitas, and in the provincial government for public works, Northwest building, the Habarona building that they are also implementing. So gradually, they have also built capacity around facilities management so that we can achieve better scale and agility to respond timely on this matter. So we are encouraged by that. But Honorable Singh, how will the work be phased in and perhaps hand over the old assembly? It will be part of the briefing that we will give to the agent, but it will also depend on the detailed design because that will confirm whether it is likely. For what percentage of the destroyed buildings are we likely to retain? What percentage of the rebuilt new assembly, if it expands infrastructurally outside the current structural scope of what we have, it may also make it easier to achieve one arm of the house to be completed in terms of the old wing, or it may also present a reality that it is not feasible to finish one. But we will be living in the realm of speculation as management. If we will say at this point, yes, we'll do that. We will ensure that when the detailed design comes, we come to our members and say, this is how the 3D design looks like. Is delivery phasing, it is possible to restore one component of the house before 2024, or it is not possible. That will be part of the architectural and detailed design outlook that we will report. But we also agree that to the extent possible, that must be considered. Will equipping of offices, committees be done as part of this? What I'm seeing, yes, those offices that we have, as well as the ones that we'll be doing on the fourth and fifth floor, they will be part of us ensuring that they are properly equipped to enable functionality to the best possible work that we need. It will be even more better for us if the 8th to the 14th floor were also to be made available, so that we're able to synchronize the release of offices of members in a manner that phases in to restore full committee functionality of the institution. That's part of the scoping that will be done, and also to be guided by works in terms of our formal request for the 8th and the 14th floor. Honorable Sheikh Imam, we can't dispute the urgency of the matter. We need to remove all red tape. We agree, honorable member, those will be areas that have also motivated us that this is extraordinary circumstances. It is quite urgent for us to move in this direction. We must also ensure that there is no overlap in managing this, and also ensure that no cost escalation to prevent over the budget. Those matters, once the detailed design costing is done and it is now finally signed off that this is a spec to build, it will also be requisite for us as management to make sure that working jointly with Public Works and Treasury as the main key role players, those matters are strictly monitored, except in instances where there's exceptional justification, which is permissible in the construction work environment. And those would also be subject to proper auditing at the time that the situation shall have arisen. We hope it doesn't arise, but it does happen in the construction work that there might be overruns within the scaling of the project management implications. Honorable Khadebe, appreciating the work done, the issue of offices is also important. Committee to do the monitoring quarterly in terms of an extension of the house. I think you have made the comment around that. And those are the main areas I have captured, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I'm not sure on the side of Public Works, maybe the Honourable Minister or the DG, there may be certain aspects they may want to take, and through you, I'm heading over. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Secretary to Parliament. Minister Dilil or the head of the
Yes, thank you.
Can you comment this?
Yes. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Just a few general remarks. I want to pick up where the explanation of the speaker around the timeline. Members will recall that on the 20th of May 2022, we informed the members that the final report from KUGA will be available within a week. The report was presented to myself and to the speaker on the 27th of May 2022. Then the committee convened a meeting for us to address the committee on for the 9th of September. That meeting was cancelled and shifted to the 23rd of September 2022. In that meeting, as Public Works, we were advised by the committee that we were instructed by the committee not to proceed until Parliament direct us what to do. So today, the 3rd of March 2023, 6 months later, is when the committee convened again. There was also a recess period of Parliament in 2022. Another point that I just want to bring to the attention of the honourable members of two processes that we are currently busy with as DPWI, where we are busy preparing the paperwork for signature in consultation with KUGA before the handover. There are two legal processes. The one is called assignment in terms of Section 18 of the Government Immovable Asset Management Act. And that is the one that we are now busy finalizing. And it's a really, Section 18 says that through assignment in writing, you can assign powers, duties, and responsibility as a custodian in terms of the Act. So that is the first part that we will be completing. The second part, which is a different process, is for the application by Parliament for the custodian powers to be devolved to Parliament in terms of Section 19, the whole Section 1, 2, and 3, and 4. And you will see that in Section 19 that I must consult with the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Public Service and Administration, and it says in consultation, meaning that we must agree, and then we need to gazette the devolvement of the custodial powers to Parliament. So those are the two processes currently under consideration within DPWI. Then also, just to clear up the members, Parliament appointed DBSA. DBSA was not appointed by DPWI. DPWI, in terms of our own internal processes, appointed KUGA for the work that they have done. So I just wanted to clear that also. In terms of the offices on 90 Plain Street, floors 8 to 14, this request has come from Parliament before. And then yesterday, the regional officials of DPWI, accompanied by officials from Parliament and my office, conducted an audit and a walkabout on the floors yesterday morning. And from what we can see, that the space is not being utilized optimally. The Dean's office is located in 90 Plain Street in the building. They are also busy with a needs analysis so that we can see exactly how many staff they have and how much space they need. But in principle, they have agreed to move, subject to DPWI finding them another premise according to their needs. And this will help in the process of finding alternative office accommodation for Parliament. From the look of the building, it is mostly office space. I don't think some of the offices are big enough for committee rooms, but that is something that we can work with Parliament on. Because the Deeds Office is accountable and responsible to Minister the DISA, Parliament has also advised that they will also call a meeting with Minister Dadisa to speak about the way forward and for the need for Parliament to use those floors. So that is where we are currently in terms of the first process, in terms of Section 18, the assignment process. The assignment request will be to for the four components that Parliament wants to do, and that is the refurbishment of burnt buildings, the old assembly, the link, and the new wing, like a secretary said. Also, the remodeling of the fourth and the fifth floor to create offices for MPs, the redesign of the Parliament precinct, and total facility management. The application with Parliament is currently with the legal department of DPWI to prepare the documents. And as soon as they are done with it, I will contact the presiding officers and the Secretary for Parliament to arrange for the signing of those documents so that we get the legislative framework in place before we can do the handover. I want to assure members that we are working flat out, and I want to thank the Secretary to Parliament for his indulgence and for his assistance. And we will sign this as soon as possible so that Parliament can proceed. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the responses. I can't believe it's going to 11 now. And remember, we had quite a number of apologies. Members mentioning that they are leaving at 10. So it means we no longer form the quorum. But we'll then allow the Minister of Public Works to maybe leave. If you have other engagements, ma'am, you can leave with your delegation. Now we're dealing with issues directly to...
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, we're now dealing with items related directly to the... To the committee. I see now the presentation says that the Secretary to Parliament will take us through the item. Mr. George, are you in a position to do that? We are now dealing with the second item, which is Parliament's performance in the third quarter of 2022-2023.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. This is our quarter three report that is essentially covering the fourth year of our five-year term since 2019. It is part of the work that as we start the fifth leg of our five-year strategy, it will then deliver Parliament to the close-up of the term of the sixth Parliament. Honourable members would recall that at the first instance that I had the privilege to interact with the committee, we did indicate that at this point, Parliament for the longest period has only been focusing on one element around service to members, a very crucial element, but reflecting generally the satisfaction of members in terms of the work we do as Parliament, looking at about five dimensions in terms of client satisfaction. I also indicated in July and September that we would like to start shifting a gear so that in terms of the macro strategy of Parliament, we look at elevating and reporting the tangible issues that must be aligned to outcomes and impacts. And that will require us to revisit fundamental performance management structure of Parliament, its policy orientation, but alignment to national development imperatives so that the oversight work of Parliament begins to report across the board what impact is Parliament in terms of its own mandate, impacting on the executive to respond to issues that face society, the macro development issues, poverty, inequality, development, performance of state-owned enterprises, and performance of departments in general. But we can say as a result of this oversight, we are beginning to see that. We are not geared to that level, but part of our work for the seventh Parliament is to begin to structure and orientate our work in that direction. What we have done, as presented in quarter two, we said we will also give highlights on some of the work done by Parliament in terms of its own core deliverables around lawmaking, performance of oversight, as well as public participation. So I would cover some of those areas, and then the client satisfaction would be linked to the budget part of the work, and I would ask the relevant manager to present that part at the end. Next slide. On this area, we are focusing on this member satisfaction, and as indicated, it will form part of our report. Next slide. These are some of the key highlights on the work of Parliament in terms of its own core business, what work has been done around houses and their committees. And statistically, this is the work that has been done around oral questions as well as written questions for the quarter, up until the number of meetings that have been done around virtual work of Parliament. Public hearings, to a large extent, there's 12 that has been done. The bills processed, 23, as well as secretary appointments, 4 for the period under review. The oversight visits, 19, as well as debates in houses, 10 of those with written questions of 1506. Next slide. This is an assessment in terms of the responsiveness of Parliament in terms of the issues directed to the executives through questions in the houses. Written questions, the numbers that have been asked, the oral questions, how many have been responded to, how many remain unresponded to around those matters. Members will recall that we said not only the issue of petitions management, but also keeping on the radar the non-responded elements. So in the third quarter and final quarter, those matters are not lost. There is a robust mechanism to follow through around those matters. It would also require us, as we go to the seventh Parliament, the macro strategy framework, to synthesize our reporting efficacy. So when we say the matter is responded to, what does it mean? Does it mean a written response back? Or Parliament must look beyond that and say, as a result of this response, it triggers a secondary dimension, meaning a relevant committee going to that particular site to oversee it, whether indeed this matter has been responded to, depending on the nature of the matter, so that we can keep to rather the quality of being responded to on the matter. And how does it translate to development outcomes as well as improvement of performance? That would be part of our work when we mature our reporting system as Parliament. National Council of Provinces, a similar structure. Issues that remain non-responded are 18, and we'll be able to keep those. Next slide. These are some of the sittings, the highlights, what were the nature of issues raised, debate on 15 days on activism, the debate on the 2022 medium-term budget policy statement, and the debate on the World AIDS Day. All of those were part of quarter three sitting of the National Assembly. On the NCOP sitting highlights, the Local Government Week took place in September, as well as cross-border and transnational crime, focusing on those areas, the indigenous support work, the water infrastructure network monitoring, the annual address of the President of the Republic, as well as the land reform, the complete ownership title deeds focus, plus the killing of councillors as one of those areas that were considered by the NCOP. The next slide. At the level of committee oversight, the visit highlights the Parliament Portfolio Committee on Mineral and Resource, the Portfolio Committee on Cooperative Governance and Public Works and Health. They performed their visit into those identified areas and oversight report in terms of those work. The key issue, though, is what has happened when these oversights have happened. Does Parliament have a system to pick up and be able to say, that matter of telecom towers, this is where it is. To us, completion would mean the following. We have not matured our work to that level, and we would like to make sure that when we refine our approach, we are able to link the undertakings of oversight to impact on the responsiveness of the executive and link that to satisfaction by citizens or recipients of that service, so that the full loop of service offering can then link to the impact of the work of Parliament. That modeling we will be doing as part of developing a robust framework of performance management by Parliament in its new strategy of the seventh Parliament. Next slide. Around the parliamentary portfolio committee, rather on defense, portfolio committee on agriculture, environment, as well as mineral resources, these are the areas that they have been visited. The same principle applied. What happens? How does it link? What happens when the NCOP takes Parliament to the people? Is it able to account back to members of the public about the impact of its work around that area? That will be part of us strengthening our work. Next slide. On the bills considered by the National Assembly, these are some of the bills that have been processed as part of the committee work for this period, right up until consideration by the House on all those bills. Next slide. At the level of NCOP, these are some of the bills that have been considered for the period under review. Next slide. Around public participation mandate of Parliament, we are beginning to see an increase around this area of work, issues that would have been interesting to society, the followership around all these social platforms, and also the growth of Parliament's own website as Parliament's own TV in terms of the growth of the website. And we intend synthesizing these matters going forward. So it is not only the numbers, numerically 186. What were the issues that show a spike that defines what society is interested when Parliament looks at? What draws people to go back to YouTube and have 717 views? How does it relate to the work of committees, and what is the meaning of that in terms of educational impact, as well as in terms of our own communication strategy as Parliament? We haven't yet done the synthesis. We only have the numbers. But as part of our work, it should be about synthesizing this so that there's a feedback to committees to say these are the issues being followed. These ones were just events of instance, but others are more interesting for members to go to. This will be part of our communications unit of Parliament, deepening its approach so that better insights are given to members in terms of the impact of their work in serving society. The next slide. Around the Pan-African Parliament on the international relations highlights of Parliament as the host to the Pan-African Parliament in Gauteng, the role that is being done in SADC, as well as the Pan-African Parliament in terms of its own interaction in SADC, the Inter-Parliamentary Association, where our parliament forms part of, as well as the task force that has been done both for the challenges facing Russia and Ukraine around the peaceful resolution of these matters, the role of our own parliament in terms of the work done by Madam Speaker as a member of the task force, the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association that we are also serving on, in terms of the work that would form part of the ongoing parliamentary diplomacy, which is a vital pillar of our five-year strategy of 2019. Next slide. Again, at the level of non-aligned movement, in terms of engagements, the participation in those activities, as well as SADC parliamentary forum, also issues around the chairperson of BRICS, which South Africa will be undertaking. We are currently developing a detailed concept plan for us to be able to ensure that working jointly with DECO, we are able to play a significant role in implementing some of the key issues that the summit would elevate in terms of those countries' commitments. Next slide. The overall performance around the satisfaction survey, I would ask this stage that the head of performance reporting, Mr. Ravi, to cover this part, supported by the CFO, who currently is on the platform but is not well. But to the extent that they may be certain matters, she will be able to pick up those matters. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. Good morning, chairpersons, honourable members. So I will cover the rest of the presentation. So in terms of the client satisfaction measurements that we've been taking over the last 2 years now, for this quarter, on all dimensions of the indicators measured, all targets were met for this quarter, which is an improvement over the previous two quarters where there were one or two indicators where there was a challenge. Cindy, move to the next slide, please. This slide, I don't want to go through the details, but what I will show here is these are the details of all the indicators reported on. You will see that the satisfaction measurements across all indicators range from 75% to 86% at the highest level. Since targets were set at 75% or above, that accounts for all the greens that we saw. Next slide, Cindy. this is telling us nothing new. All 12 indicators met their target. Then in terms of the budget allocation, the only important thing to note here is that the budget allocation for the third quarter was 762 million, and the slide is showing the breakdown thereof amongst the different economic classifications amongst the different programs. Next slide, please. Now this is also showing that same budget allocation, just broken up according to economic classification rather than program of parliament. Next slide, Cindy. Then in terms of this, what it's showing here is that it's giving the budget breakdown numbers per program. And there's nothing odd to report here. All spending was between 92% and 99% of the total budget allocation for the quarter. So there's no major underspending or no major overspending to report in this program. Next slide, please. This is giving the same view, but just by economic classification. So also seriously strange yet, and no serious over underspending. Next slide, please, Cindy. I think just move on. There's nothing really I want to do. You can carry on moving down. Okay, now in terms of the various programs, so like I reported before, all indicators met their target. So in program one, there were two indicators, both of which met their target. There were no issues in program one, the administration. Next slide, Cindy. You can move to the next one. This is just showing the detail. Okay, in this, as already indicated in this program, there was no major underspending or overspending. This is just giving a breakdown of the various offices that comprise Program 1 administration. You can move on to the next slide. I think go further, Cindy, to the Program 2. you can move to Program 2. I think there's nothing major I want to report here. These are just giving the details of the various offices. Okay, so your next program is your legislation and oversight program, which obviously comprises the bulk of Parliament's core business. And in this program, there are 10 indicators, all of which met their targets, so all green. And Cindy, you can move to the financials part of it, because no reds to report here. Okay, so this basically, in terms of the finances, are showing how the budget is broken up amongst the various different divisions of the legislative and oversight program, from the National Assembly, NCOP tables, and your various areas. Besides sectoral parliaments, where there's been a bit of delays in spending, the National Assembly, NCOP, and public participation shared services budgets are roughly on track for the third quarter. I think there was very slight overspending, where it is 101% for certain of the programs. However, the projected totals for the year end is that everything is on track. Next slide, please. These slides are simply showing the breakdowns of each of the programs, like National Assembly Table, etc. I think I don't want to flag any particular details here. I think the summary slide encapsulated the key things. And then in terms of program three, which is your last program for the session, this is comprised of from members of facilities, transfer to political parties, and the PBO or the budget office is also depicted as a transfer. There was no major underspending or overspending spending. So there's nothing major to flag here, and all indications and projections say that by year end, by the end of this the current quarter, that the spending is on track. Thanks, Cindy. I think in terms of the direct charges, I'll just flag that. Obviously, this relates to compensation of members, etc. There's nothing major to report here. However, I think we've raised before there is the way National Treasury allocates funds, about 32 million, which is maybe projected as an overspend. However, as usual, we always recover that against the national revenue. Since it's a direct charge against the national revenue fund, it is refunded by National Treasury to us, and it has happened a single year, so it's nothing strange. It's just that at some point in time, National Treasury does need to adjust do the baseline adjustment properly, so that we don't always have to recover this process. Honourable members, Chairperson, I think I'm done with the presentation, so obviously I'll pass it back to you, Chairperson, unless the Secretary Department wants to raise any other matter that I may have forgotten. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Judge, is there anything that you would want to raise?
No, not at this point, Honorable Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much. We welcome the report. I will then invite members for comments, questions, and recommendations. The platform is open, members, for engagement. Member Becky Hadebe.
No, thank you, Chairperson. First of all, we'll have to appreciate again the presentation from the side of Parliament. But what is critical is that as in this detailed presentation of what the oversight, what the PCs are doing on the oversight is very important, because now it becomes a qualitative type of an input. But what we must really, really avoid, Chairperson, what the Parliament must really avoid is the issue of the underspending. Ne? The issue, we must ensure that there's a very limited underspending. You cannot have a situation of the sea of unemployment and poverty and having money being retained instead. Because if you retain, let's say, 200 million, you say you don't save it, next year it is going to be less for the goods and services, né? Because the prices in the market are increasing. So I think that by and large, the report is appreciated, but the element of underspending must really be addressed as of yesterday. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Member Matlo.
Chairperson. Thank you very much. Let me request to switch off my video. The connection is not too good. My questions, Chairperson, with due respect, will be based on the annual performance plan of the management, the finance management committee of finance management parliament. The first question that one will want to understand, Chair, with due respect, is that although I might have missed it when they present, because I couldn't get those that I'm going to ask is the things that I did not manage to get them nearly, though they have been presented. But also, I would like, before I start, I would like to appreciate the report and the hard work that is done by our officials in Parliament, led by our Speaker, Chair, and also the Secretary. What steps, my first question will be that, what steps will be taken to centralize resources and funding for parliamentarians' capacity building program? I didn't get it as they present. Maybe somewhere there I missed it. Please forgive my ignorance on that one. The other question that one will ask is that, how will the useful of Parliament capacity building program be measured, and what process will be put in place to get regular satisfaction. Feedback. Although I had it a little bit slightly to say we are at 75, 80, something. So it's not that you did not present it. You did, but I did not get it well. I just need a sort of small clarity on that one. Chairperson, you will pardon me because I've got few of them. And I wanted also to check what step will be taken to enhance scientific analysis and research services in the Parliament to support better security and recommendations. And then the other one will be, how will Parliament establish the necessary research capacity to specialize in providing information for members, research for committees, procedural research, budget analysis, and gender analysis. Those are some of the things that I think I'm missing when I'm sitting here. What steps will be taken to monitor and track and evaluate the implementation of recommendation and resources in Parliament? Because some of the resolution we take, we wanted to at least to follow them up. What institutional standard and quality management processes will be introduced to ensure that quality and objective information services is there? I just wanted also to get information on the other one will be what steps will be taken to implement virtual public meetings? Because I agree, we are now having a problem. We don't go to public as usual, but I think we are getting there. I can see now committees are starting to go out, but I just wanted to check what is it that we are going to deal with regard to the petitions, broaden cooperation with the partners and stakeholders, including the legislature, sector, government, community and organization and institutions out there. The last one on my side, how will the Parliament service improve coordination and cooperation amongst the role players in public participation, including the use of more official languages, broadcasting on the radio stations? Like, you see, I'm coming from Bochum in rural areas. We do have some radio stations there, but we just wanted to know now, how are we going to make sure that the social media and mobile technology and external network reach the public as we wish? Chairperson, with due respect, let me end there for now. But if maybe I can also touch the just a little bit one, which says that what is the status of the project? Because I jotted them down, but some of them they're running away. What is the status of the project plan securing license through the independent broadcast communication authority in South Africa, which is called ICASA in brackets, and for a greater public awareness of the business of Parliament? Chair, thank you very much. Those are some of the things that I missed as they present, and also I need to apologize that maybe these things has happened in the last meeting where our meeting were clashing because I was in another meeting of agriculture as my primary committee. Thank you, Chair.
Member Kaiso, thank you very much, Member Mafu.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I just want to go back as to that slide, which has a number of answers, number of bills, number of oversight visits. There is something that I want to ask there, because it's, to me, it's very important. I just wish that slide can come back a bit.
Thank you. Let me check if there are more hands.
Yes. So let's go to the one which talks about over number of oversight and the number of yes. Right. No. This is not this the
and
one.
Then you go to the next one.
Yes.
This one.
Yeah. But it doesn't come to where I want. But then the question that I wanted to know, I see we have a comparative chart here on the report, but I just want to check. Maybe we wouldn't make it even more sense if we compare something with you know, because we want to measure, the report wants to measure to what an extent has this had impact in as far as the work of Parliament has had, in as far as doing oversights as compared to what standard has been set. Because it will say, if we say a total number of oversights done, 10, what did we expect to do or have? You know, something like that, so that we can be able to see, because someone who does not know will just say, okay, 19 is fine. But then 19 out of what a standard number that, or is, you know, some that should indicate that indeed there's been a sufficient work down when we talk about oversight. Why is this question? I think I want to bring in a lot of issues that happens during the oversights, which I want to include, make an example about, say, auditing report. If you read auditor's AG's report, for instance, you want to look at oversight performance of the Parliament. Do we then have that sense? You know, it should immediately make a sense to me. So I'm just trying to think abroad that it should be able to see we're comparing what here. It shouldn't just be maybe just oversight 20 and then we keep quiet. But then if we say oversight 20, it was out of what of the bills, I mean, of the oversight visit? What was the standard? So I just wanted to frame a question. I'm not sure whether I make myself very clear on this question, because I seem to have a problem where we say oversight 19. So, but we don't know what then, out of what informed the 19, out of how many, or did we expect? And the second one was, what was it? The second one, Chair, was on the, yeah, otherwise one would appreciate the report. Indeed, it does go into detail as to the progress that has been made under the period under review. Thank you.
Member Tim?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm sorry, the system's been kicking me in and out the whole morning, but anyway. Chairperson, I just want to speak to this issue of petitions, and I don't really want to ask a question, but I just want to make a suggestion. to the Secretary of Parliament. You know, petitions is, first of all, I would be very surprised if any member on this call this morning would disagree with me that petitions must be dealt with quickly. Petitions are normally compiled by us when we're in the field and it's reported to us an urgent problem, a lack of electricity, a lack of water for an extended period of time, but it's normally an emergency in the community. And so I'd find it very strange that if anybody disagreed that this needs to happen quickly. So I just want to know from, make a suggestion to the STP that why don't we just put a protocol in place that from the time a member serves a petition on either the chairperson of the NCOP or on the speaker of the NA, that it within 1 week, I would say 1 week, it gets referred officially to the committee. And then that committee within 1 week must endeavor to set aside just 1 hour in a committee meeting, or let's say 2 weeks in a committee meeting, to hear the petitioners, to call the relevant department, to hear the issue, and then have the matter referred to that department to take some sort of urgent action, if it's possible. And I just think if we put a protocol in place, Chairperson, this might solve the problem. Maybe it can be 2 weeks from the Speaker's office or the Chair's office, and then within 2 weeks, the petitioners are called. So in other words, from the day of submitting a petition, within 1 month, let's say, within 1 month, at the longest, it should appear in front of the Petitions Committee, either in the NCOP or in the NA. And I just want to put forward that idea that we have a strict protocol that it must happen like that. Otherwise, people are going to lose, the people out there, the voters out there, the community out there, are going to lose faith in the parliamentary mechanism of petitions. And frankly, if we don't do it like that, I think then we must maybe scrap petitions as a parliamentary mechanism and not give people false hope. In my particular case, Chairperson, I'll end on this. I assisted a community in KZN with a petition because of a lack of water for 40 days. I submitted that petition in November 2019 to the chairperson of the NCOP, to his office. In August 2022, I was called to appear before the committee. Now, there is no ways that any of us here surely can think that that is acceptable, that we take that community's concerns to the committee and to the department only that time later. And so, Chairperson, I think it's unacceptable. If I can just share with the committee, on that particular issue, I actually wrote to the Minister of Cocteau, and that evening, the Minister of Cocteau, the day that I wrote to her, that evening, that minister phoned me at 11 o'clock at night, and then phoned me again at 5 o'clock in the morning. So within 24 hours, the minister was on it, but the committee took 18 months to see the petitioners. And I just think if the minister can act that quickly, then surely the committee can act in a similar speedy fashion. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. My interest will be around your partnership with DERCO in hosting BRICS. I think that was just said in passing, but I do have interest. Because I feel that there's no hype. South Africans are not aware of what is happening in the country. And if Parliament is involved, at least at some point, we should be hearing in Parliament in a form of statements or, something, but we don't see anything. We don't feel that we're hosting BRICS. And I think we're denying members of the public or South Africans an opportunity to then understand and connect with BRICS. So if you do have information, please share it. If not, it's fine. It's something that I would want maybe to take up as the chairperson and also understand the role that Parliament is playing. Thank you very much. Let me check if there are any more hands. No? None?
I will then request, I'm not sure if the speaker would want to comment, then after that, I will then indicate who's supposed to respond.
Okay. Will respond.
Okay, all right, speaker.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Earlier on, Madam Speaker indicated that we have had a successful strat plan, and that focus was about us reviewing the strategic framework of Parliament, look at the progress since 2019. And the ultimate intention was for us to shape the strategy driver for the seventh Parliament. What are the issues that need to be framed and in what form? Perhaps through you, Honourable Chairperson, there may be a need during the next sitting of the Joint Standing Committee for us to take through the committee on some of the framers of that new outlook, because it builds on the issues we raised in July as well as September, that the emphasis must move away from inputs to look at outputs that must be measurable in terms of what outcomes as a result of parliamentary interventions are we seeing. How does it contribute to impact? We have not got into that gear as an institution. So this new macro strategy framework is beginning to outline those, because it will be linking us to deliberate investment on data gathering capabilities of Parliament, data analytics, alignment to the national development goals of the country, and how Parliament in its own mandate is impacting on those areas. So the details around how we will measure, when we say there is 19 visits to oversight, and the answer says how many questions of oral or written were responded to, what is the meaning of Parliament that it says it's a response? Is it a response because we have received a letter back from the ministry? Is it a response only to the degree to which it aligns to what Parliament's recommendations were meant to achieve around that matter? Is it taken off the basket of Parliament's monitoring, or is it kept alive until the impact is achieved? Those will be part of the qualitative shift that we need to invest deliberately in our strategic framework, and then embed systems in the organization so that when we come to the Joint Standing Committee or the work of any committees or outcomes plenary, we are able to track through the contributions towards impact. So maybe through that presentation, Chairperson, members will then be able to guide us quite qualitatively to build our capacity towards that shift. On the area of the management of prevention and avoiding under expenditure, as alluded to by Oral Khademe, it is one area that we are monitoring, and we will be able to ensure that where there are any limitations that we're experiencing, we are able to ramp up that expenditure in this last leg of our financial year. Given that we have reported up to December, so January, February, March is one of the focus areas by the end of this month, some of those areas where we need to achieve higher levels of spending, we improve our capacity in that regard. Honorable Marshall, on steps taken to centralize capacity building of members, we currently have capacity building under the member support services and also under legislative sector support, where there is a parliamentary institute that has been launched in 2021. And these are some of the areas we'll be looking at to make sure that we are able to measure the support of members, the growth of members in terms of their capacity, but generally to make sure that there's overall improvement on how members must be able to be empowered to discharge their responsibilities. So part of the review that we are doing is about looking at those matters so that we can be able to report properly and track the impact that is being done around the work of members. So the institute will be very central in driving those quality systems. Honorable Paiso, agreeing with the point that I've raised earlier on, to say when the matters come from NCOP or National Assembly or visit, that rests squarely on the improvements we need to effect on the qualitative shift. So as we present the macro strategy framework for the 7th Parliament, we would also ensure that we're able to come back to the committee, share some of the new reviews we will be effecting on the strategy, so that you could see the impact we would like to see and what systems we need to put in place. Perhaps the committee would keep this regularly on its radar to allow us time to improve our own systems. So that we can see, here is the standard, here is the measurement index, here is the benchmark for the previous term. This is what we expect the response should be receiving a merit of is effectively responded to. Honorable Brout said, you have been very consistent on this matter of petition systems. How do we set standards? How do we set protocols? Perhaps through you, Honorable Chairperson, it may be necessary that, amongst other things, as we continue presenting, we give a particular focus on this matter, because it has been a pain point for quite some time. Maybe with your permission, when we review this work as management, you dedicate a special focus by the Joint Standing Committee, where we are able to say, this is the thinking we want to infuse on this matter. This is the modeling we are doing. Are we on the right track? So the standard around what needs to be done by any committee, when a petition lands in Parliament, what time frames we set, and how do we make sure that the tracking system is fairly robust. Perhaps part of it could be the opportunity to dedicate a special focus, whether it is a workshopping model or it's a formal sitting, we will be guided by the Honourable Committee through you, Chairperson. Honourable Mabe, around the sharing of the BRICS report, we will be able to share the information in terms of the BRICS concept. I was looking at the platform now, the head of international relations, I don't see him on the platform, unless he has connected using another gadget. But there's work that we are doing, and we will be able to share that information through your guidance in terms of the concept or any other focus that is there. If he's connected, maybe he can respond, Mr. Sitone, around how we will share the information with the committee on the BRICS hosting the Parliament. Any updates you can give now? So the Chairperson, I'll ask you. Thanks.
Thank you, SCP. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members of Parliament. We are indeed working very hard on the issue around the hosting. We are currently developing a concept document that will be linked to what the presidency, as the current chairperson of 2023 of this parliamentary forum. We are working on that. We have built up, we are finalizing our arrangement with the research council. We have lined up a number of activities that we want to do during our chairpersonship, including, of course, engaging external stakeholders, academia, ordinary people in different seminars, different activities. As soon as we conclude the concept document, we will present it to the presiding officers for approval, and then we'll be able to organize all the events building to a parliamentary forum of BRICS. And again, it says, with your permission, that the thinking around ourselves and is dependent on the approval once the concept document is done. But our thinking has been that the parliamentary forum of BRICS has been meeting on the sidelines of the IPU, and we are thinking that under our leadership, we are going to propose in our concept document that the South Africa consider hosting those parliaments here and consider even the engagement of those that have applied for membership, depending as to how we cooperate. So there is work that has been done, and indeed, once the document is completed, submit yourself and the presiding officer for final approval, and then once it's approved, then we can hit the ground running. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Thank you very much. We are done on our side, the two persons on the quarterly performance.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the presentation. Members, we do not have the required quorum to consider reports. I'm going to request that maybe during the week we should try find Cindy a slot, maybe around lunchtime for an hour, where we can then request members to please sacrifice just 1 hour so that we can then process the reports, all the outstanding reports, including minutes. But that information will be communicated by Cindy to members, preferably on a Wednesday, on a Thursday. I know that Thursday we are able to get most members in Parliament. Though it's going to be visual, but Thursday, maybe lunch, let's have a working lunch, just to process all the outstanding minutes and reports. If we are in agreement, members, I would then request that we close the meeting. And thank you very much for your participation and sacrifice, knowing that it's a Friday, most members are traveling, but you always make sure that you do attend, even though there's slow trading, you've tried to be in the platform. Thank you very much to the Speaker, the Secretary of Parliament, the Minister of Public Works. She did also grace us with her attendance. We appreciate that. Yeah, I think maybe let's leave it at that, members. We'll then meet next week, Friday. Thank you very much. The meeting is officially closed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you.